Okay, before we go into summer, I just want to encourage us that every believer is called unto faithfulness. Hallelujah. Nobody likes an unfaithful spouse. Nobody. In fact, nobody likes an unfaithful friend. If you disagree, you can put up your hands. I don't mind. Amen? Amen? You know, don't keep letting God down. Hallelujah. Don't take God for granted. Step up to the next level in your relationship with God. God is not a Father Christmas. He's a Father. Hallelujah. He's not a Father Christmas. He's a Father. Hallelujah. He's not Santa Claus. Hallelujah. He's a real Father who wants real relationship. And like Sister Pamela said, you know, as we take steps of obedience, so every time you don't obey God, you are setting yourself back. You're not setting God back. God cannot be set back. He said, if we are unfaithful, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. God's purposes cannot fail. Hallelujah. If God has called you to do something, if you don't do it, God will raise up another person. You are the one that loses. Hallelujah. If God gives you an opportunity, 7 years, you are not taking that opportunity. You remain there like a spiritual baby. Other people will come and take your place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's a call to faithfulness. That's how you advance. Sometimes you are talking to God about the things that you can't do. And God is saying, what about the ones you can do? He said, Father, you know, give me strength to overcome this. Okay. But there are some things you can do. Hallelujah. There's some things you can do. You can attend more meetings. Amen. You can. Someone say, oh, I can't attend the meeting because I don't have a car. What of when you now have a car? Why are you not still attending? You just want to remain a baby forever? That is not your calling. Hallelujah. Because in the physical, you don't want any child to remain a baby forever, being spoon-fed. Hallelujah. Step up to the next level. Challenge yourself to have more of God and to do more for God. It's called devotion and service. We are all called to devotion and service. Don't stay at the same level. Hallelujah. Say, I refuse to stay at the same level. Hallelujah. You see, spiritually, staying at the same level is regression. Because spiritually, nothing is static. Things are always moving spiritually. Hallelujah. So if you don't move, you are allowing yourself to go. But don't find excuses for yourself. Hallelujah. Don't find excuses why in this season I will just be slack. Don't. Because the devil does not care. Hallelujah. I remember many, you know, months and years ago, I always tell myself, I said, you have to care because the devil does not care. Hallelujah. God cares. Caring is a sign of love. Hallelujah. When you love, you will what? You will care. Hallelujah. So don't stay back. You're not cool to be in the back. You're called to move on. Hallelujah. God has greater things in stock for your life. Hallelujah. The way I always think about this is this. I say, if I die today, and you know I won't die, I'll be raptured. Amen? But if I die today, you know, can I say that I'm dying fulfilled? It's not going to ever be about the money or about the possessions. It's about whether I've allowed God to use my life in a way that touched other lives for the kingdom. That's the one you can look back. If you had to walk away today, you know that yes, you would have wanted to live longer, but you still have no regret because you know you can say, I'm doing everything God wants me to do. It's a good life. It's a good life for your obedience to be complete. To say, as of today, everything God wants me to do, I'm doing. Hallelujah. It will never be so perfect that everything will just flow. Test and trial is a part of life. Hallelujah. No matter how great your faith is, it will be challenged. You will go through something. I know when I'm going through things. Yeah? You know, the Holy Spirit reminded me that while you're going through it, is to make sure that you practicalize what you preach and overcome it. That way, when other people come to you, you know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. I don't like theoretical messages. Hallelujah. I just want to tell you the testimony of another person. I want to tell you that what I'm bringing to you is really my life. Hallelujah. Test and trial is in the program of God. That's why when God made Adam and Eve, he gave them a test. It wasn't the devil. Hallelujah. As he made him, he gave him his test. He said, every tree you can eat, but this one, don't touch. That was his test. Hallelujah. That is how God promotes you. That's how God advances your life. Hallelujah. The Bible said there is no temptation. There is no trial. There is no challenge. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. No temptation, no trial, no challenge that has come against you is beyond what is common to other people. Whatever you are going through now, somebody has gone through it before. And I'm telling you, there is somebody somewhere in the world, maybe the other side of the world, or even somewhere in your family that is going through what you are going through right now. But thank God that that's not the end of the story. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. It said, God is faithful. Somebody say, God is faithful. God is faithful. Hallelujah. He said, he will never allow you to be tempted beyond your capacity. Hallelujah. Means, whatever I'm going through now, before God allowed it in my life, he gave me capacity. Say, I have capacity. Hallelujah. He said, he will never allow you to be tempted above what you are able. Hallelujah. But with the temptation, he will also make a way of escape. So that you can bear it. But not just bear it, so that you can overcome it. And so that the temptation or the trial or the test or the challenge will make you become a better person. Now, whether you win or lose in a test or a trial depends on you. It doesn't depend on God. Because God's permanent position is that you win. Amen? It doesn't depend on the devil. The devil's permanent position is that you what? That you lose. Amen? It depends on you. Hallelujah. Your attitude. Someone say attitude. Your attitude. Your attitude. You see, my son's school, when they're grading them before they do their exams, they have a midterm report. They're always going to report on their attitude, their effort, their reflection. It's called them attitude, effort, reflection. It has nothing to do with your ability. You may be the most intelligent person, but your attitude, your effort, your reflection will determine how far you go. Your attitude, your effort, your reflection will determine whether you are progressing or you are regressing. Are you with me? Whatever you are going through, your attitude matters. There are some things in your life right now, you say, oh, if God can just get me through this and overcome, my life will be much better. And you will see that you will overcome it. But what will be left of you? Would you have changed? Or you will just go back to your old nature? If you go back to your old nature, you've learned nothing. You wasted everything. Hallelujah. So when we come and when we give testimonies of what God is doing, we should also, the other side of testimony is, have I grown? 1 year in church, have I grown? How do you know if you've grown? Are you a better person? Are you more faithful? Are you more devoted? Are you more committed? Are you giving more service? Are you making a bigger difference? Hallelujah. I'm talking about faithfulness. Because faithfulness feeds back into faith. Hallelujah. See, God is a good father. I always have a problem with one section of that song. He said that he has heard the whispers in the night and I know you are pleased. I say, pleased for what? God is not automatically pleased. Hebrews 11:6. He says, without faith, it is what? Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. Someone who has faith in God will be committed. When your faith in God is pure, it comes with commitment. Faith is a relationship. Hallelujah. If I have faith in God, how do we know that Abraham had faith in God? God told him, take Isaac and go and sacrifice him. We're looking at faith, isn't it? But how do we judge faith? It's faithfulness.
his ability to trust God, even in the midst of the challenge. His ability to hold on to God, even in the midst of the unpleasant symptoms. His ability to stay put and keep going at it, even when there's nothing to be happy about. Hallelujah. That one pleasing God. Hallelujah. God is not automatically pleased because you have a fine face. He gave you the fine face. Hallelujah. I know you're a fine boy, but he gave you the fine face. You're a fine boy like that young one there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is not automatically pleased because you bought a new dress. He made it possible. Hallelujah. He's pleased when you respond to him out of a faithful heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us challenge ourselves to move to the next level. It does not depend on age. It does not depend on experience or qualification. It's a matter of the heart. We call it attitude. Hallelujah. Attitude will determine whether you move forward or you remain the same or you go back. Hallelujah. Say, I choose to move forward. It's never too late. Mr. Pamela said, you might have been giving God bad attitude. And he sees it. Don't ever think he didn't see it. He sees it very well. But the day you realize and you decide, I'm going to make a change. Yeah? God can grant you speed. Hallelujah. I say bad attitude can delay your progress. It can delay your destiny. It can delay what God wants to do with your life. But the day you say, enough is enough, I am going to turn a new leaf, God will start granting you what? Speed. We call it restoration. He will grant you speed. He will help you to catch up what you missed because your attitude is right. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time. Okay, today there's a meeting here. When we finish at 1:30, so definitely I'll finish on time. 12:45 we will finish the sermon. So I will just preach or teach for 30 minutes. What I just gave you now was just some utterance from my spirit, but I'll teach for 30 minutes on the part 2 of this message, faith in his name. And next week we will finish it with our part 3. So can we say the title of the sermon together? Faith in his name. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing of fellowship. Thank you for we are people from different nations, different ethnicities, but we are one in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the love that we share. Thank you for the faith that we share. Thank you for the hope, the blessed hope that we share. Thank you, Lord, because you are making all things to work together for our good. Thank you because you are showing yourself strong on the behalf of your people. Thank you, Father, because you are making a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Thank you, Father, because you are the one that parted the Red Sea. And that same Red Sea that you parted, you caused it to drown the Egyptians that were chasing the people of God. So right now, thank you, because you are closing back that Red Sea upon every Pharaoh and every Egyptian army that is chasing us in any aspect of our life, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Because any Egyptian we see in our lives today, in terms of negative symptoms, in terms of negative situations, thank you, because those Egyptians, we will see them no more, in the name of Jesus. Bless us as we listen to your word, and be glorified. In Jesus' name. Open your Bible to John chapter 14. The title of today's sermon is Faith in His Name, and it's the part 2. I'm going to teach John chapter 14 and Mark 11. John chapter 14 verse 12 to verse 14. John chapter 14 verse 12 to verse 14. Okay? I don't know if someone would like to read that. John chapter 14 verse 12 to 14. There you go.
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
You don't know very, verily. Assuredly. Look, everything Jesus tells you is true.
But when Jesus is telling you, verily, verily, or truly, truly, he's saying, pay special attention. That's the meaning. Go on.
He that speaketh on me, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Hallelujah. He said if we believe on him, we can repeat the things he did. And that's my ambition. I say, what's your ambition in life? I'm telling you, my ambition is to be like Jesus and do everything Jesus did. That's my overarching desire. Hallelujah. It's not just to run church. It's not just to preach and teach. To do the works of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus delivered the oppressed. Delivered them. Jesus healed the sick. Healed them. Hallelujah. He said if you believe the same works you can do. Not your pastor. Even you. Say even me.
Even me.
Hallelujah. And he said what? Greater works. I don't know. Sometimes I think we understand that. See, when Jesus was on earth, he had not yet died. He had not yet gone to the cross. The price of sin had not yet been paid. So anything they enjoyed then, they were just enjoying a special benefit. It was transitional period between Old Testament and New Testament. Hallelujah. So really, they didn't deserve what they were getting. Yeah? All the things that Jesus did is not guaranteed under the Old Testament. Hallelujah. The Old Testament is a limited covenant. It's a poor, it's a lesser quality covenant. Because the Bible says that the new is better promises, better delivery. Hallelujah. If the old was perfect, there would be no need for the new. Hallelujah. The old was faulty. Bible says the law can never make anybody perfect. Hallelujah. That's why he came in for the new. The old was based on the blood of bulls and goats. Hallelujah. Animals. Yeah? We just covered sin. He never took away sin. He just covered it. Hallelujah. The old was the shadow of the new. Hallelujah. When you have the new, you don't need to stay in the shadow. Come into the light. Say, talk to someone. Say, don't stay in the shadow.
Don't stay in the shadow.
Come into the light.
Come into the light.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moonlight can never compare with sunlight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Jesus was on earth, it was a transitional period. So everything Jesus did is just, you know, giving us that extra mercy, extra benefit. But the price had not been paid. Hallelujah. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. It's still transitional. Jesus told 70 disciples to go and, heal the sick and raise the dead. It's just transitional. But when Jesus died on the cross and he shed his blood and his body was broken and his blood was shed, that's not the end. He went down into hell. Hallelujah. He went down into hell as a punishment for your sin and mine. Jesus went to hell so that you don't have to go there. Hallelujah. So that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. That's not the end of the story. When God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. That's the completion. When God raised him from the dead. And he was raised with a new body. Hallelujah. And then ascended. He said you can do greater works because he is going to his Father. If you go to Revelation chapter 1, you understand it. Because when Jesus showed up to John in Revelation 1, he said, I am he that was alive and was dead and now lives forever. And I have. Say someone say have. I have the keys of death and hell. Hallelujah. He didn't have it when he was on earth. Hallelujah. He had it when you went to that sacrifice and you overcame. He had it. Say, I have it. Hallelujah. That's why we can do greater works. It's a better covenant based on better promises. In the Old Testament, they were never children of God. They were children of Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not possible. But in New Testament, as many as received him, he gave them what? The power to become what? Sons of God. It's very different. In the Old Testament, they were the servants of God. But in New Testament, we are the sons of God. Hallelujah. We are what? the sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
That's why we can do greater works. Say, I can do greater works.
I can do greater works.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Well, how are you to do these greater works? That's the question. Let's have some answers. Please continue. Read verse 13 and 14 and I'll ask that question.
And whatsoever you shall ask.
Listen, whatsoever. Name. Someone say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
Continue.
That I will do.
Who will do the asking in his name? He or us? They don't waste your time and pray to Jesus to do something for you. That's Old Testament. Amen? Amen? You can't pray and say, Jesus, do this for me. Because he said you are the one to demand it in his name. So if the devil shows up, don't pray and say, Jesus, come and deliver me from this devil. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's the wrong, you are doing things upside down. Amen? It's like turning your car upside down and then driving it upside down. It's just completely non-functional. The tires will be rolling. Nothing will be moving. You with me? Yeah? He said, whatever you ask in my name. So if the devil shows up, your job is to speak to that and say, in the name of Jesus, disappear. Hallelujah. You don't say, Jesus, I have to go and chase the devil. No. You say, in the name of Jesus, leave. And you know, he never told you to do anything more than the asking. The asking in that place, if you translate it right, he's talking about demanding your right. Making a demand on your legal right as a son of God. Hallelujah. He's not talking about asking the Father. That we saw in John 16. John 16, you ask the Father for good and perfect gifts. I need a new car. You ask the Father. Amen? Yeah. I need a wife or a husband. You ask who?
The Father.
It's a good and perfect gift. I need a new job. You ask who?
The Father.
But maybe when you're asking the Father for your job, you got a revelation that a demon was sitting, yeah, on your letter of employment. Now you don't ask the Father that one. Amen? You command it and say, take your leave in the name of Jesus. That's the asking we're talking about there. You make a demand on your legal right as a believer. Hallelujah. And that's why you use his name to make that demand. He said, when you do that, whatever you ask in my name, please continue reading from there. Whatever you ask in my name.
In my name, that I will do.
Who will do it? When you make that demand in his name, who will do it? Jesus. I want you to have that picture. When I invoke the name of Jesus against a problem in my life, I have told Jesus to face that problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a choice. I can decide to face it myself, or I can invoke the name of the Lord. And we said 2 weeks ago that the name of the Lord is what?
Strong tower.
If you want to say, in life, we face trials and temptations. The fact that you are going through a trial does not always mean you have sinned. Even without sinning, you could go through test. Adam had not sinned, but he was tested. Amen? It's a part of life. You with me? Yeah? Yes, if you sin, it can put you in unnecessary trial. Do you understand? But it's not always the case. If you are disobedient, if you are unfaithful, it will put you in many unnecessary trials. But even if you are faithful and obedient, you will still go through some tests and trials. It's the way of life. It's God's way even. It's God's way to make sure you can grow. Without test and trial, you will not grow. You remain spiritual baby forever. You ask God to spoon feed you all your life. So that's why he allows tests and trials. Even when you've not sinned. And even when you're not disobedient. Are you with me? We all go through tests and trials. No one is exempted. Except the one that has died. Amen? You see, people, remember the other day, one of my sons, younger son, was praying. And he was praying for the people in heaven. That God will keep them and strengthen them and protect them. I said, you don't need that prayer. Hallelujah. They have entered into rest.
They cannot add to their works. They cannot reduce for their work. They cannot suffer. Yeah. Those who are disobedient are suffering in hell. But those who have obeyed, they are there. They are in rest. Yeah? Is that not a good thing? They have entered into what? They are in a better place than you. The only thing you have better than them is that you can do the works. I want you to understand the value of your life. Someone who lived is better than someone who never lived. A baby that was aborted is not just the sin of mother. It's the sin that you have denied that child an opportunity to produce works of righteousness. They cannot get any reward now. They can make it to heaven because they are innocent, but they can't get a reward because they didn't do any works. Now, you that are alive, every day when you wake up, even if life is difficult, remember that every breath of life is an opportunity to do the works of righteousness. Because that is the one that will stay with you for all eternity. Amen? Every work of righteousness you do on this earth, you will be rewarded. That's your eternal crown. That's your eternal makeup and foundation. Is that good? Yeah? You with me? Your works of righteousness. I want to say something here, sisters. You know me now. I was looking at Revelation. In Revelation, the Bible talks about the harlot, Babylon. And we get this picture of how she adorned herself. Yeah? With scarlet and purple and gold. Yeah? And silver. Amen? That's the bride of Satan. Babylon. But if you go to Revelation, I think it's 19 or 20, you talk about the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Bible says, listen to the, go to your Bible, check it. The Bible says she was clothed in fine linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints. Hallelujah. The bride of Christ is not adorned. I'm not saying she should not use makeup. All I preach in this church is moderation. Amen? Balance. Okay? Don't go to church looking wretched and smelly. You know, look well. Look good. Don't overdo. Be balanced. Amen? But the bride of Christ is clothed in fine linen, which is the righteousness. Yeah? That is the adornment. Hallelujah. Say, my adornment as a child of God is righteousness. Right standing and right living. So every work you do on this earth that promotes righteousness is eternal. It can, you know, I like that top. you don't know who I'm talking to yet. But in 20 years time, it may not exist again. Isn't it? You'll have been disturbing someone to change it. If you can't. Hallelujah. But every work of righteousness you do on earth, when you get to heaven, it will be rewarded. It's your adornment forever. And the person who could not do any works cannot get the reward. Reward is based on performance. Hallelujah. You get to heaven through your faith in Christ and your faithfulness to remain in Christ. But your reward in heaven is your works of righteousness. Everything you did for God that moved the kingdom of God forward, that touched lives, that delivered people, that saved people, that healed people, that transformed lives, God will reward you and He stays with you forever. Hallelujah. That's why a living dog is better than a dead lion. Because if you go to Ecclesiastes, you will see it. Because there's no more works in the grave. Hallelujah. But you can do the works. Say, I can do the works. I can increase my works of righteousness. I can add to my works of righteousness. Hallelujah. You might have missed it in the past, but you still have life now. Hallelujah. It's a new day. God is doing new things. Hallelujah. You're not too old and you're not too young. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, the preaching anointing has come on me today. Hallelujah. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Amen. I want to start picturing it. When you have to command an unpleasant situation in the name of Jesus, picture Jesus going to do it. Hallelujah. It's not you. Your job is speak, believe, and refuse to doubt. So I say, oh, what do I do when I'm doubting? Speak. The answer to doubt is always to speak. When you are doubting, speak the word. Speak in the name. Don't ever open your mouth and say it's not working. It's, when you open your mouth and say it's not working, you will never. It doesn't give you the victory, does it? Praise God. You spoke something. You spoke to a mountain to move. What is your victory? That the mountain moved. If after speaking, the mountain is still there, and you still want it to move, you're not going to open your mouth and say it's not working. Whenever you say it's not working, you have accepted the doubt in your head. I want you to understand, as long as you're a human being, the doubt will come to your head. You can never fully avoid doubt in your head. Do you know why? You are interacting with the real world. You are interacting with people. Yeah? You are interacting with stimuli. Yeah? Doubt will come. When you see something that is not looking right, doubt will, your senses will interpret it. Yeah? You can't fully avoid doubt in your head. But Bible says that you should not doubt in your heart, in your spirit. Your heart is your spirit. Don't let that doubt in your head enter your spirit. Someone say, how does it enter my spirit? When you believe it. Hello? Anything that will enter your heart, you must believe. Say, you meet someone, say, I love with all my heart. You have believed. Really? Before you believe, you're just seeing something beautiful. But when you believe in it now, it has entered what? Your heart. Hallelujah. So your job is when doubt comes in your head, reject it. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and say, I refuse to doubt. Then immediately repeat your command. That shows that that's your position. Hallelujah. I speak peace to my body. Hallelujah. If you see anything unpleasant in your body, speak peace to it in the name of Jesus. And he said you can do greater works. Say, I can do greater works.
I can do greater works.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Let me ask you a question and wake some people. Some people are sleeping. I don't want people sleeping in church when I'm preaching. Just like I don't like people sleeping when I'm lecturing at uni. What is the power behind the name of Jesus? I want anybody? What is the power behind the name of Jesus? It's simple. But I want us to locate it. Yes. Yes. So when you use the name of Jesus, what's the power behind it? The name of Jesus. We said the name of Jesus. How beautiful it is. How wonderful it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. You know, I'm not really moved by the beauty or the wonder. It's the power that matters. Hallelujah. It's the power that what? Matters. You know, it's like the difference between men and women. If you want to give me a bit, just buy it. Give me the gift. What I'm looking at is the gift. I don't care about the packaging. You know what packaging is doing to our world now? You know? It's like, where's my wife now? She will just, I want it just to order. I want it because no matter, she will just strip it and leave it. I have to clear the packaging. I have to go to the dump. And now they've made it more difficult. At the dump now, you have to fold the packaging yourself. Before I just throw it, now I have to flatten it. Can you see the problem of packaging? Don't be too overwhelmed by the packaging. What matters is the power. Hallelujah. Now I was saying, at home fellowship, so whether you fall down under the anointing or not is not the most important thing. What matters is whether there was change in your situation. If you lie more than a million times, he says no change, you just wasted your time. Praise the Lord. What is the power behind the name of Jesus? Yes, yes, that's an answer. Yes.
Is it the power to save?
Yes, yes. I'm not really asking for the description of the power. I'm saying, where does that power come from? What's the power that backs up that name? When you use the name, where is the power? Yes. We know it has power to save. I agree. Yes? It's the simple answer. I just wanted you to think.
Power from God.
Yes, power from God. Yes. Anybody better answer, but it's correct. I'm just looking for you to be more specific. It's power from God, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Yes?
Power from our believing.
Yes, yes, he's still not hitting it. The best answer so far is brotherly power from God, but it's more specific than that. What's the power behind the name of Jesus?
Is it because of the person whose name it is?
Thank you. Everyone put your hands together for Samuel. Now, somebody read for me that John 12, 13. I will show you the power behind the name of Jesus. I'm asking this question so you know. So you know what you are deploying when you use the name. And that's why you should never mess with the name. Don't use it as an expression of frustration, you know, or disgust. No. You are cheapening your faith. When you use it like that, your faith will reduce in the name. Hallelujah. Yes. Someone else? John 12, 13. Yes. He's following your Bible. John 12, 13. The power behind the name.
13, yeah.
Yes, go on.
Took branches of palm trees.
No, John chapter 14. I'm so sorry. It's the same place we've been reading. John 14, 13. Yes.
And whatsoever ye shall ask.
Listen
in my
to this.
Name,
whatsoever ye shall ask.
That will I do.
In my name. That will who?
Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. The power behind a name is the person that owns the name. Amen? The power behind the name is what? Is the person who owns the name. He said, whatever you add in my name, I. It's not Pastor Ben. Amen? Thank God it's not Pastor Ben. But as a pastor, you know, you're trying to do a lot for people. You need to remind yourself that you are not the sheep shepherd. You are the under what? Shepherd. Without him, you can do what? Nothing. I know you have a brain. Yeah? But we must learn to rely on him. Amen? He is a source. Say, Jesus is a source. Can I prove it? He said, in the beginning was what? The Word. He is a source. And the Word was with God. And the Word was what? God. Jesus is the Word. He is the source. He is the power behind his name. Hallelujah. When I call or when I invoke the name of Jesus, I am calling Jesus himself into action. And that's why I will not mess with the name of Jesus. I will not use it as an expression of frustration or disgust. Hallelujah. Because when you do that, it's cheapening your faith in the name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, it's not about the beauty or the wonder. It's about what? The power. Hallelujah. I'm looking for something that will deliver for me. Hallelujah. When I'm in situation and circumstance and you can't run away from me completely. Amen. I need something that will deliver for me. When something looks like it's going on in my body, I want to deploy that name. And I want to see result. Hallelujah. Imagine if you went for a checkup and they told you have fibroid. It may not apply to most of you here. Amen? And you start panicking. I see God did not create you. Amen? I'm speaking it that way. I want you to understand it. He created you, isn't he? Everything, flesh and blood in you, God made it. Amen? Say, God made me. Everything, flesh and blood. Believe it. Believe it. Believe that. You have to believe it. Don't you believe it? It's not the one that made you. Hallelujah. Is it the doctor that made you now? Is it not he? Even the doctor. Who made the doctor? Doctors use medicine. You know that. Let's ask the nurses. If you don't believe, please ask my sister after the service whether doctors use medicine or not. Praise the Lord. That is not the end of the story. Speak to it. Speak to it. In the name of Jesus. I know you believe in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he can do all things? Do you believe he can do great things? Speak to it. That fire. Say, I command you in the name of Jesus to shrink.
It was your opportunity to use your faith. Hallelujah. Listen, here you've spoken to it. Even if the next day the sign is this day, what the Bible says? It says, whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed. And, is that the end of the story? And shall not doubt in his heart. You have many opportunities to doubt. In fact, the doubt will be flying in your head like birds above the sky. Hallelujah. But you must refuse to believe that doubt. Yeah? How do you refuse? Keep speaking to it. And believes, you must believe that what you are saying will come to. How do you believe? Because you must see Jesus. You must see that the same Jesus that opened the eyes of blind Bartimaeus, the same Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead, the same Jesus that healed the impotent man, is the same one who is going to shield that fibroid for you as you deploy his name, believing. Hallelujah. When you persist now, you know what happened at the end of the day? You will come out with a testimony. And maybe with a baby by your side. Amen? Maybe with a baby by your side. Hallelujah. I'm going to round up now. Just 1-2 minutes. I want you to understand that we are not denying the facts. The facts are there. But I know what you want is the breakthrough. Amen? What do you want? The facts or the breakthrough? The facts or the miracle? If you are looking for a job, hello. Thank God you've crossed that level now. Hallelujah. And you go out and say, there are no jobs outside. Do you want to live with those facts? Is that your reality? What you need is what? A job. If the facts are saying no job, is that going to help you? You don't even want to believe it. If you believe it, what will you end up with? No job. Hallelujah. So, we are not denying the facts. Some say, I like reality. What is reality? The reality is that you need a miracle. Amen. The reality is not the fact. The reality is that you need what? A miracle. Hallelujah. So don't believe the facts if that's not what you want. Amen. Hallelujah. Believe what the word of God has said about you. Use your faith. Use his name. Hallelujah. Create a miracle. Hallelujah. Experience a miracle. Hallelujah. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You can go about fasting and praying. 3 days dry fast. The next 3 days wet fast. 1 day break. Continue. So that the fiber will disappear. You don't have knowledge. Amen? You don't have knowledge. God may have mercy on you. Amen? He's a merciful God. But he wants you to grow. Amen? You see, this is my teaching. It's my position. You should fast. But your fasting should be an opportunity to wait upon the Lord. To develop your relationship with God. To study the Bible more. Read Christian books. Hear from God. Know God better. That's the best fasting. The next level of the best fasting is that your fasting, the second fasting, which is not abstaining from food, is abstaining from pleasures to bless other people. Isaiah 58 is there. He said, this is the type of fasting I have chosen. Hallelujah. Now you let, you know, you break the bands of wickedness and you let the oppressed go free. You know, if you do that, it will work for you. Many times faster than abstaining from food to solve your problem. It's fasting, isn't there? Isaiah 58, check it. Hallelujah. You have authority. Say, I have authority. And I will use my authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the authority does not depend on how mature you are as a Christian. It just depends on the name. If you have entered the name, you have a right to the use of the name. My last name, yeah? My last born has entered that name by inheritance. He may be the youngest, but he has every right to that name. Hallelujah. Every benefit that comes from that name belongs to him. as it belongs to my wife. Hallelujah. It doesn't depend on age or experience. It depends on the fact that you are now in relationship. I would say, if any man is in Christ, what are we? You know what that means? If I'm a new creation, I can create miracles. Hallelujah. All the evidence may say no, and I can just use my faith, stay there, because we're operating a different law. Anytime you're in faith, it's a different law. It's not the law of observation. Faith is not the law of observation. That's science. Amen? Science is the law of what? Observation. Faith is not the law of observation. Faith is the law of creation. Observation cannot produce creation. The world was not created by observation. It was created by a spiritual law that called things into being. Amen? And it's a higher law. Because you can change what you observe. Let us rise up and pray. Let us rise up. I believe that God has spoken to you. My encouragement to you is that you need to understand that the works of Christ can be repeated in your life. And God can use it to help other people. It's your calling. It belongs to you. Hallelujah. I don't know what challenge you are facing now, or what challenge you will face in the future. Hallelujah. If you are here, if you are laboring under the cross, don't allow that to overwhelm you. Those are the facts. Are you in Christ? That's the first question. Are you genuinely, truly in Christ? Hallelujah. Have you genuinely repented of your sins? Have you genuinely committed to Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If it's true, you have inherited the name. Hallelujah. And you can deploy it. And Jesus tells you that he will do it. And Jesus tells you why he will do it. So that the Father can be glorified. I always tell you that, you know, whatever miracle you need, that miracle ought to glorify God. That's why don't deploy the name and call all of your enemies to die. Because you have to understand, does that glorify God? Look at the Bible. It says God is not willing that anybody should perish. But all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. You can use the name and say, Father, arrest them. Yeah? Hallelujah. In the Old Testament is destroy them. The New Testament is better than the Old. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, we won't destroy, we arrest them to conviction and repentance. Hallelujah. We can always make do with a new believer. The Bible says that the angels of God, they rejoice over what? One sinner that what? That repents. Hallelujah. Say, the name of Jesus belongs to me. Begin to talk to God. Begin to speak now. What I want you to do is speak. I didn't say pray. Speak. You know the good thing about it, you don't have to shout to give a command. If you understand your authority, you just need to be confident. Speak to your body. Speak to your challenge. It's a mountain. Anything in your life that is a challenge is what? It's a mountain. And the way you deal with mountain is to say to that mountain, be removed. Be cast into the sea. Bible says that if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you are saying will come to pass, of course you will say it in his name. You have to say it in his name. Because it's one that is going to do it. You will have what you say. I speak peace. I'm not speaking for you. I'm speaking myself. I speak peace to my body. Every organ. Every tissue. Every cell in my body. I command you receive life. Receive wholeness. No brokenness. No sickness. No disease. No inflammation. No pain. Hallelujah. No disease in my body. In my face, in my skin, in my hair, in my scalp, in my feet, in my hands, in my knees, I command wholeness. I command wholeness, strength, quickening in the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing is broken. Everything that was broken, I command you to be whole in the name of Jesus Christ. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I do not permit Satan to afflict my body. Every visitor of yours and stranger of yours manifesting my body, I command them to pack up right now and leave my body in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare that I'm fruitful on every side, spiritually, financially,
emotionally, intellectually, physically. I'm fruitful. I produce good fruit, works of righteousness. I'm faithful in the name of Jesus Christ. Every demon on assignment against my life, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare that your power is broken and I rebuke you. Take your hands off. Satan, take your hands off my life in the name of Jesus. Satan, take your hands off my home in the name of Jesus. Satan, take your hands off my wife and my children in the name of Jesus. I say my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you have challenges in your work, in your job, speak to your mountain in the name of Jesus Christ. Command the doors that have been shut against you to be opened in the name of Jesus Christ. Command everything working against you to turn around in your favor in the name of Jesus Christ. If you feel that you have enemies, people are working against you, break their power. Say, I break every power in every enemy working against me. Every power of darkness that has been deployed against me, I break you in the name of Jesus. Wherever you are, whether in the United Kingdom or in Africa or wherever you are, every evil power has been released against me. I break you now. I command you shattered in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're having challenges with your children, deploy the name. Deploy the name. Rescue them. Set them free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command every power working in love of my children, causing them not to progress, I command you to release them now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lose your hold now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever is your mountain, speak to me. Command it. In the name of Jesus, rebuke it. In the name of Jesus, resist it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. And I will give you praise. Hallelujah. I said it last time, I'm just repeating it. If ever you find yourself in a physical danger, don't keep quiet. Deploy the name. If someone is trying to harm your assault, you say, in the name of Jesus, you can't touch me. In the name of Jesus, I forbid you. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. That's where your power is. You know, sometimes things happen to people and you say, oh, but they were Christians. Why did they happen? They did not use deploy their arsenal. Deploy your arsenal. If you're in a situation that is terrible, call the name. Use it. Don't just say Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus, I will not die. In the name of Jesus, I will not be broken. In the name of Jesus, you cannot touch me. In the name of Jesus, you cannot harm me. I forbid you. In the name of Jesus. That belongs to you. And your testimonies will multiply. In Jesus' name.